It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. And we want to look today in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. We're going to look there about the wickedness that was found in Corinth during those days that Paul was there. Now, we're not going to cover everything, but we're going to hit some of the high points that I believe we need to see in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12 says this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Well, after preaching at Athens, the Apostle Paul traveled to Corinth, according to Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 18. Now, Corinth was the most important city Paul had visited since he left Antioch of Syria. And with the exception of Ephesus, he stayed at Corinth longer than any other city we know of. In Acts chapter 18, verses 2 and 3, we see that Paul stayed with Aquila and Priscilla, two Jewish tent makers from Rome. Well, Corinth became not only a synonym for wealth and luxury, drunkenness and debauchery, but also for filth. I would have you notice, first of all, about this place that Corinth was wicked because people were religious. Well, in that day, Aphrodite was worshipped. She was known as the goddess of love. And there were 10,000 prostitutes used in connection with this false religion. And we also see that their religion said everyone had to speak in tongues. Now, don't get mad at me. If you want to get mad at someone, you get mad at God. And I warn you about that, because God will not put up with foolishness. As we look at these scriptures, we see that their religion said that everyone had to speak in tongues. And Paul rebukes these people sharply. You know, there are people today who say the same thing. The Bible rebukes these people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18 through 22, it says this. Paul says this under the inspiration of the Lord. "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Remember, as we look back into the section of Scripture we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says in verse 22, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." God does things decently and in order. He wants people to understand, as the Bible tells us about signs, that signs, the Jews seek after signs. And this is what Paul's trying to get across to these people. There were Jewish people there. There were all kinds of people there. They were religious. They did not serve God, but yet they were speaking in tongues. Some people today will try to tell you that you must speak in tongues in order to be saved. Well, they are religious. And I'm not going to say that all of them's lost. I'm saying they are mistaken concerning the Bible, concerning the Word of God. They need to get things right with God and quit telling people that you must speak in tongues or that is an evidence of salvation. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The evidence of salvation is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible is clear that a person comes to Jesus Christ, faith believing that he is God, faith believing that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, Jesus Christ came into this world to seek the sinner. But when he speaks to the heart of that sinner, that person looks to Jesus, seeking Jesus' favor. And the way he seeks Jesus' favor and gets that favor is by repenting, by turning away from what has kept them from Jesus for so many years, and that is self, that is sin. Jesus Christ says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." We repent. We will not go any longer our way trying to get to heaven, but we are ready to go God's way, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way to heaven. You don't speak in tongues to get to heaven. You don't pay money to the church to get to heaven. You don't join a church to get to heaven. You don't get baptized to get to heaven. You get Jesus Christ as your Savior to get to heaven. Jesus Christ is the one who came into this world because God the Father sent him to seek and to save those who were lost. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to turn to him today and say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I know that I will not go to heaven unless you forgive me of that sin, the sins that I've committed. Lord, there's so many. I cannot name each one, but God, Lord, you know each one of them. And I'm confessing them to you right now. Please save me so that one day I will see you personally in heaven. Save me. Lord, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Savior, to be my God, to be my Lord, the one who came into this world to save me." If you'll get serious with God, he'll get serious with you. You get serious with Jesus Christ and he'll get serious with you. He'll save you no matter who you are, where you're at, what you've done. Jesus Christ wants to save you today if you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior. And if you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you need to get serious with God. You need to let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life. Let him lead and guide you through this world. And one way that we find out how that he guides us through this world is by getting into the Word of God, by listening to the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, by doing the Word of God. God is plain when he says that as saved people, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. We are to present ourselves to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he first loved us, because he gave his life for us, because he rose from the grave for us. We know him as our Savior. He saved us. Can we do less than serve him? He first loved us. Can we just love him and let him know that we love him by doing the things that he wants us to do, by serving him, by trusting him to lead us and guide us through this world? And I'm speaking to saved people. There's some saved people that I'm speaking to right now is not serving God. They're not serving Jesus Christ because of stubbornness, because it may not be fitting in with their, shall we say, their itinerary. It's not serving God is not fitting in with their plans. Well, I say to you that Jesus' plan was come to seek and to save you. And if you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you need to make time for him. Get into his word. Get into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where you can serve him, telling other individuals that Jesus saves. and joining other individuals within that church, save people within a local church, helping other save people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, encouraging our brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging them for things that come into their lives that would seem to knock them down. You need to get busy. We all need to be busy for the Lord. He's coming soon. I believe he's coming back, and he's going to say, come up hither. When he says that, then the church will be gone. And when I say church, I'm speaking to you as a saved person. You, saved person, will go up to be with the Lord, to meet him in the air. The Bible tells us that we're going to hear the trump of God. The trump of God will sound, the voice of the archangel. Jesus will say, come up hither, and we will go to be with him forever, 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 no end. But now, on the other hand, those people who do not trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those people whom we refuse to witness to as saved people, when we get saved, we're to tell others about Jesus Christ. That person who we do not witness to and goes to hell, that person will suffer forever, 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 and forever. Have you told someone about Jesus today? Have you told someone about Jesus yesterday, last week, last month, last year? Have you ever told anyone that Jesus saves? Don't try to tell me that you're too bashful to tell someone how to go to heaven. We have tracts. Those things that we pass out that have the plan of salvation in it. You don't have to say a word to someone to hand them a tract for the plan of salvation. Sometimes I think we're just too lazy. Sometimes I believe that we think that we're going to somehow be embarrassed by handing someone a tract. You need to get out of that. You need to give people tracts, and you need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Speak up and let them know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If they go to hell, they'll be there forever, 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 forever. As long as you're with Jesus Christ, they'll be in hell, the lake of fire. We'll be enjoying and having conversations with our Lord while they're in hell suffering. Oh, they'll not have conversation with the devil. Some people believe that when they go to hell, they're going to have a big party. There's not going to be a party in hell. The devil himself is going to be tormented all the time. He's nobody's friend today, and he's certainly not going to be a friend to anybody when he's in the lake of fire. So do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap, the Bible says. If you're sowing to the flesh, of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you're living for the devil, you're going to live with him forever if you do not trust Jesus Christ. If you're living for the devil, you're going to die and go to the lake of fire. And you need to get saved today by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, by trusting him as your Lord and Savior. Turn from your sin and turn to him, trusting him as your Lord and Savior. God loves you, and he does not want you to spend eternity in the lake of fire, where you'll be tormented forever, forever, and forever. There's good news, because God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary, to be raised from the dead the third day, and to make it possible for us to go to heaven once we've trusted him as Lord and Savior. Won't you trust him today? Ask him to come into your heart.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.